like giving food to the hungry, giving hope to the needy, giving life to a baby, giving care for free, cause there is freedom around us. We have everything we need, and I will care for you, cause you care for me, and we all have opinions. Some of them get through, but there's better people with more good to do, good to do.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now on this Thanksgiving Day is Sister Ann Kendrick, who is one of the co-founders of the Hope Community Center in Apopka, Florida. In 1971, Sister Ann and three other members of the Sisters of Notre Dame de Namur moved to the area bordering Orlando and founded what was originally called the Office for Farm Worker Ministry. Since then, Sister Ann and her partners have been working to address the problems confronting migrant laborers in Central Florida. Welcome to Background Briefing, Sister Ann Kendrick.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be with you.
And what kind of a Thanksgiving are you going to have today? Will you be sharing your meals with migrant farm laborers?
Yes, that certainly is part of part of the ritual, you know, of these days. We work with people who work in agriculture, who harvest the crops that feed the feed the nation. And so all the different programs that we're part of, youth groups and moms groups and family nurturing groups and ESOL, GED, citizenship classes, even though it's sort of the Thanksgiving Day for this immigrant community is, not part of the culture that they grew up in, actually, they have a healthier attitude of gratitude than a lot of us sort of, white and, North Americans. They have an attitude of gratitude every day. We kind of save it all up for, the days around Thanksgiving. But, we celebrate with food, sometimes turkey, but mostly empanadas, tamales, un pernil, more the typical food of the, of the community. And they love to celebrate, and it's a great community. And we're very grateful for so many things. This election is one of them. I think immigration, is now on the charts. And regardless of the outcome of the elections, which we are grateful for, I'm grateful to be a Sister of Notre Dame. The nuns on the bus, kind of brought attention to the cause of the poor people in our country that are getting poorer as the rich get richer. So I'm glad to be on, one of the nuns on the bus. And I'm also glad, I'm delighted and grateful to work at the Hope Community Center with a community that I love and with a team of people that are amazingly creative. And, there's just magic in these rooms. In the midst of a lot of trouble, some wonderful miracles happen every day with people's lives. And I'm just glad to be a part of it and glad to be to go to bed at night thinking, that I had a good day working with great people and in very small ways, but making a difference in this world.
And Sister Ann Kendrick, there's an expression in politics here, particularly with the changing demographics and the emerging blue majority in America, uh-huh. that the Latino community and the Latino vote is the sleeping giant of American politics. To what extent have you experienced the awakening of the sleeping giant?
I think that the community is beginning to feel a sense of its power, of its identity, of its ownership, of not just being the newcomers, but, of really belonging here. An amazing thing, we had some young people from this community who are undocumented, who Sunday before the elections canvassed and phone banked on behalf of President Obama. I think that is pretty amazing. These are kids who are undocumented, who can't vote, some of them who aren't quite even old enough to vote, and were so invested, in the process that they also did poll watching to make sure that people had a fair chance to get their vote counted, and I think that is pretty amazing, and they're following the news. I'm not sure that in the news we always get the full story, but they're getting feedback that the Latino vote was an important one, and whether people have the right to vote or not, I think the community is beginning to feel a sense of its power. Although you know, the very day after the elections, we had a huge immigration raid here in this community where people's rights were violated, and long-term folks with no criminal record that should qualify for prosecutorial, you know, discretion, you know, were rounded up, leaving wives and U.S. citizen children, you know, pretty much abandoned and, you know, taken to detention centers. So, you know, and I think that there's, you know, there's going to be a white pushback of folks that feel that their, you know, that their control and sort of ownership of this country is beginning to fade. So, and they don't like it. So, I'm on one hand, you know, excited about the change and moving forward, and I'm also a little cautious and alarmed at sort of, you know, the racial attitudes and racism and the hatred that still is, unfortunately, you know, afloat in the culture of our country.
Again, I'm speaking with Sister Ann Kendrick, who is one of the co-founders of the Hope Community Center in Apopka, Florida. She's also one of the founders of the Office for Farm Worker Ministry. And since this foundation, Sister Ann and her partners have been working to address the problems confronting migrant laborers in Central Florida. It does feel, though, when you tell us the story about a raid that took place the day after the election, that there's almost a schizophrenia here in our government. You know, on the one hand, you've got ICE out there raiding and destroying people's lives. And as you pointed out, these are people are hardworking people, not criminals. And on the other hand, you've got the Dreamers and the possibility of a Dream Act and an immigration deal being made now.
Right. I'm, you know, hoping that my more cynical side that says, well, we're going to show them, you know, Obama may have won, but you know, we still have it out for this, you know, immigrant community, and that this was, you know, this was a planned sort of retaliatory, you know, showing of force. I hope that that wasn't the case, but we'll see. You know, the, supposedly the policy of the day is a prosecutorial discretion. Families that have been here a long time, that have roots, that have U.S. citizen children, that have no criminal record, and that, you know, have established, you know, residence here for more than 10 years, aren't supposed to be on the pickup list. So that seems not, that message and that policy seems not to have gotten to the, you know, to the boots on the ground. And so we're going to have to work at that because, you know, the, you know, sort of the public face is one thing and the actual, you know, reality still, you know, is, you know, secure communities still give local police the authority to act as immigrant immigration agents and to based just on their own inclinations, their own prejudices, their own profiling, to just eyeball people and pick them up. And we have to end that because that is the practice. And
it's not so, just Arizona we're talking about. It's Florida.
No. Here in Florida. Here in Florida, you don't need an Arizona law. You know, they're already doing, you know, what they do in Arizona. Some pretext to stop people and then begin to investigate their immigration status and, you know, put them in jail for driving without a valid driver's license. You know, I was stopped a few months ago at a regular, you know, license check. I'd run out of the house without my purse. I did not have my wallet with my license in it. I was not arrested, nor was I patted down, nor was I cuffed, nor was I taken to, you know, to the local county jail where I had to bond out. I was given a ticket. And the next day I showed the ticket at the courthouse and that ticket was torn up and I was, you know, free to go, no points, no, you know, no trouble.
Because you're white.
I wonder if it's how I appear.
So, Sister Ann Kendrick, you mentioned the nuns on the bus, and I've spoken a number of times to Sister Simone Campbell.
Isn't she amazing?
She is an inspiration, and it was wonderful to see her at the speaking at the Democratic Convention.
Yes, it was.
And of course, I talked to her at the time that she was up in Janesville, Wisconsin, visiting the office of vice presidential nominee on the Republican side, Paul Ryan.
Oh, Paul Ryan, right.
And so in the extent to which the Tea Party appeared to be the losers in this election, and Paul Ryan, of course, was one of their champions and one of their rising stars, the extent to which this election, in many ways, I think, was a referendum on whether or not we still have a democracy and we have not become an oligarchy or a plutonomy was very much at stake. And so what's your feeling about the extent to which the plutocrats tried to buy this election and people stood in line for hours and hours, particularly down in Florida, to overcome voter suppression?
Right. I think one of the celebrative moments beside the outcome of the election was, people voted their conscience. They voted their, their gut. They voted their, their best estimate of which candidate could really help bring us forward, but also be willing to actually find common ground and not simply vilify everybody that disagrees. That disagrees. I mean, I had some pretty strong conversations as a Catholic with people who, were pretty strong for Romney and felt that as a Catholic you had to vote for Romney if you were, in favor of life. And I found that there was little or no tolerance from my point of view that I had prayed about this, that I had studied the issues, that I made a decision of conscience and a serious decision about what candidate I was supporting. I felt that while I might not agree with others, I respected that with all integrity for their worldview or their understanding of their faith, they came to that decision. I found that I didn't get that same respect back, and I think that's really a core issue in our country of vilifying people who disagree and not allowing for a more in-depth discourse and willingness to look at other people's points of view and be willing to negotiate and find some common ground. That sort of respect for each other, it seems to be eroding, and I think that is, that'd be on the things for which I am not grateful. I am not grateful this Thanksgiving, time. But I think there are those of us that work in the grassroots that care very much about the poor, care about social justice, care about, some serious reform issues in our political and economic system. But I hope that we don't ever become so arrogant and so self-righteous and so self-assured that we're not willing to talk to others and negotiate and respect even the people that we profoundly disagree with.
Well, it's pretty clear that the Republican Party is now going through a kind of soul-searching or at least some recriminations. And that's why many analysts believe that there could be a deal on immigration, simply because...
There could be, right? If it's not just posturing and if it's serious,
right.
If on all parts,
right.
More people were deported, during the Obama administration than ever during George Bush. So, that just has to stop.
But I think that also what's going on, though, within the Republican Party is that the more sensible voices are pointing towards the purveyors of hatred and division,
right.
And derision. The fellow that ran John McCain's campaign, Steve Schmidt, referred to it on one of the Sunday talk shows as the Republican entertainment complex. And in a curious way, Limbaugh and Karl Rove and these other actors pretty much seem to run the Republican Party. And now we're seeing some sort of pushback. But I'm also concerned at this point that the Democrats, who are the majority and who are will be an increasing majority if they enact the kind of progressive politics that the people voted for. And so many of our Democratic leaders, arguably we have a blue country with a purple president. Bill Clinton was a kind of purple president. These are politicians who were very much influenced by Ronald Reagan and the Reagan era. But arguably that era is over. And I'm concerned that our politicians are going to cave in unnecessarily on Social Security and Medicare, particularly Social Security, which pays for itself.
Right.
There's no logic to caving in. What's your feeling?
No, there is no. Well, I think, I think that we need to, that the rank and file voters need to actually study the issues. you know, and really study them, you know, really learn the facts and not just, you know, the opinion. I mean, I think that you know, opinion has become fact, and actual data, actual truth, you know, that is not nuanced, you know, that is actual historical data, numbers and things like that, you know, are things that people need to pay attention to and not just listen, you know, to whatever the media is, you know, is pumping, and find out people that you trust who are, you know, are actually students of some of these, you know, complicated issues, and learn about them. Learn about them, not just to take a 60-second soundbite from, you know, some, you know, whatever the evening news that you watch. You know, it's more serious than that, you know.
Well, what about the notion, though, Sister Ann Kendrick, that this is the time for progressives to put some wind at the president's back? I think what happened in 2008 was that many people felt that they had voted for somebody that was going to bring hope and change, but, you know,
And then we disappeared.
They disappeared, right.
No, right. No, exactly. I mean, I was up all night and at various, you know, places celebrating and, you know, meeting with people that have been very active in the campaign. And I was, you know, I was excited about the outcome, you know, and at the other side of me said, well, you know, tomorrow I'm going to get up and do the same thing I do every day, you know, and it's about building from the grassroots up. It's about building, you know, power and community and relationship in an immigrant community, helping them develop a sense of identity and roots and place, you know, and connection. And we do a lot of service learning where we bring in college students from other places. And in fact, we had, you know, our sisters in Belmont, you know, the Notre Dame Denimur University in Belmont brought students last year, you know, to across the country to an experience that they probably could have gotten in Watsonville, you know, right down the road from them. But, you know, sometimes you have to get out of your neighborhood to, you know, to see things that are in your back, you know, yard. And the purpose of all of that service learning stuff is to build community, to build relationships across class, across race, you know, and hear each other's stories and find some common ground. And it's, you know, that's the work we do. And that work, regardless of who's the president, you know, that's the work from the bottom up that creates a support system that isn't hateful, that is not, you know, race-based, you know, that is not the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, because we have now some human connections, some personal connections with people that in the normal sort of social construct of our societies, we'd be isolated from. We wouldn't have the opportunity to connect with them. That's important work, regardless of who's president, because it's building the community from the bottom up. It's the work of people of faith, and we always have a job to do because, you know, no system is going to fix it all.
Well, just in closing, Sister Ann Kendrick, today, of course, is Thanksgiving, and then tomorrow is referred to as Black Friday, where people go crazy in the malls shopping for bargains. And then the rest of the month of December is a celebration of materialism. And one of the things that's so wonderful about Thanksgiving is that there aren't any obligations to buy presents and send cards, etc. It's really more about family and community.
Right.
What's your sense about the extent to which we are probably going to be forced to move away from consumerism because of the very health of the planet is being threatened by consumption?
Great. Great. We can build a, you know, a thriving economy on something other than buying widgets and stuff that we don't need, you know, in the mall. I mean, I think, you know, the obscenity of you know, the political slogan of, you know, be patriotic, go to the mall and shop is just the basest, most disgusting thing. And I think, you know, we could say, oh, isn't that horrible? But we fall into that, you know, that behavior, you know, ourselves, and, you know, in many ways. The day after Thanksgiving, we ought to go to a park, you know, go to the beach, you know, take a walk in the woods, you know, enjoy the beauty of our, you know, of our planet. And there's so many things we could do that actually provide jobs that you know, could help our community instead of just, you know, making junk, you know, that just, you know, ends up in a landfill. And that it doesn't fill the hole in our soul and is not lasting, and it's destroying our planet. I mean, we have some serious things to change at the, you know, at the core, and one of those things is our own mind and heart.
Well, Sister Anna Kendrick, I thank you so much for joining us on this Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Have a happy day.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Sister Anne Kendrick, who's one of the co-founders of the Hope Community Center in Apopka, Florida, in 1971. Sister Anne and three other members of the Sisters of Notre Dame de Namur moved to the area bordering Orlando and founded what was originally called the Office for Farm Worker Ministry. Since then, Sister Anne and her partners have been working to address the problems confronting migrant laborers in Central Florida. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the many reasons to be thankful that our democracy survived an attempt by the oligarchy to buy the recent election.